I'm Alan Deutschman, professor of journalism at the University of Nevada, Reno.
And I'm Christina Barr, the executive director of Nevada Humanities.
Welcome to The Creative Edge, an occasional series on KUNR that showcases some of the amazing creative thinkers we have here in the region.
Today's guest is Michael P. Branch, a writer, a professor of English at the University of Nevada, Reno, and a self-described desert rat. He's just published a new memoir about his experiences living, loving, and working in the Great Basin called Raising Wild: Dispatches from a Home in the Wilderness. Mike, Raising Wild is about your family's experiences making a home in the remote Great Basin desert. Would you be willing to tell us a little bit more about where you were and how you came to be there?
Yeah, one of the things that's really unique about our community is that we have wildland so close to town. So in order to have a wilderness experience, a lot of people in this country have to take a long trip, but we're fortunate to live in a place where we have access to quality wildlands near the city. So I sort of worked my way from Reno to the outskirts of Reno to further out and further out still. And now we live out north of town on the border of wildlands that go all the way to California. And it's amazing to live in a place where you can commute to work and still have pronghorn antelope on your property.
When you say we, who's we?
Well, Raising Wild is very much a family story. My wife, Erin, and my two daughters, Caroline and Hannah, we live together out in this remote area on a wildlands interface where we've got lots of big critters and big weather. We're at about 6,000 feet, so we have high elevation conditions as well. So the book is really about how interesting it has been to raise daughters in a place that most people would consider the middle of nowhere, but we sort of think of as being the middle of everywhere.
So that's so different than many other books about living in the wilderness, which are usually about, you know, one rugged man alone. You're there with a family with young daughters. Why did you want to raise your family in this very challenging desert environment, and how has it turned out?
You know, there's a lot of evidence that kids have less and less contact with the natural world, and I think there's plenty of evidence that we're sort of evolved as a species to need that kind of contact to become fully who we are. So part of my motivation was that I just love solitude and love wilderness, but I think what really motivated us to raise the girls out there was this idea that, you know, they would have plenty of opportunities for contact with culture, but to give them that rare opportunity to really have unmediated experiences in a wild place was something that had become really rare and precious in the culture. I also think that, you know, the standard sort of narrative of wilderness experience, just as you say, Alan, tends to be a male narrative of escape from adult responsibility. It's typically men in flight from families or adult responsibility into wilderness. And I think that kind of retreat narrative really doesn't tell the full story of what it means to have contact with wild places. So I intend the book as a sort of challenge to that model. I think the way I put it in the opening chapter is that, you know, I too have retreated to the wild, but I have retreated with my family rather than from them.
I've also lived in far-flung places throughout my life, and I recognize in your voice and in the tone of the book this really wonderful, well, that sense of wondrousness that you have when you live in a place that feels new. And I don't think that that actually, I think people that I've known also who've lived in these far-flung places, that doesn't go away. There's really a sense of wonder when you wake up in the morning and see the animals and the sagebrush and the sunrise, and that feeling stays with you over time. And I'm curious to know, as a scholar and a writer, you're, of course, a professor at UNR of English as well, how has this changed you or shaped you? How has this become part of who you are?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is that I think repetition gets a bad rap when it comes to contact with the world. So almost 10 years ago, as a pure experiment one year, I said, well, what if I walked 1,000 miles this year within a 10-mile radius of my home? And so I tried this as a very deliberate kind of bioregional experiment. What would it mean to cover the same ground over and over? And I've continued to do that ever since. So I've walked something like 13, 14,000 miles in this wild area near my home. And what I find is when you put yourself in a position where you encounter the same landscape over and over again in different conditions, and those conditions are changes in yourself as well as changes in the exterior landscape, there's a kind of intimacy that develops that can't be developed any other way. And I think it does have its analog in our human relationships. I mean, we don't say about our kids, you know, they're exciting and interesting, but, you know, I've had a week with them and now I'm done forever, right? I mean, with people we love, it's the intimacy of the everyday built up over time that I think makes things really redemptive. And I've found that same kind of repetitive contact with a local landscape to really open up for me what it means to be intimate with the place where you dwell.
I love that you make the space for that, too, that there's a place in your day or even a routine that helps to make that happen. We've been talking about that at home and how you find a place for that. That's really wonderful.
Mike, at the end of your book, you describe a devastating fire that did great damage to your house. I'm sure this must have raised the question of the strength of your commitment to living in a remote place. Why did you decide to rebuild your home in the desert rather than moving back to Reno?
That's a great question. And fire is part of living in the wildlands interface. And so are mountain lions, and so are blizzards, and so are earthquakes and flash floods and aridity and elevation and wind. It really is a very difficult place to make a life. But I think that, you know, that sort of challenge, which gets mediated in most of our lives by so many different sort of devices and techniques that I think in some ways keep us away from what it really means to live in the world, I just sort of like that unhandseled, unmediated contact. It was a very difficult period, rebuilding after the fire. But I think people rebuild their lives all the time after difficult relationships, after health issues, problems with their work. I sort of feel like fire in the place where I live is part of what I signed up for when I moved out there. And I think the challenge of inhabiting this place is part of what has made it so interesting and so rewarding.
Yeah, and I actually really enjoyed also the description of the various drinks you're having at any given moment throughout the book. There was this lovely, like, you know, whether it's the really great IPA or the gin that inspired the creation of your children or the all the things that come together.
There's some whiskey in there, too.
Yeah, there's a little whiskey in there, too. So when you go home tonight, what are you gonna drink?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you asked. I did an interview a few weeks ago, and on a lark, the last question of that interview was, if you could invent a cocktail that evoked the spirit of the place that you live, what would it be? So I actually built a Raising Wild cocktail, and I'll share the recipe with you. But it's sort of a spin-off of a gin refresher, but instead of cucumber, it uses things like sage syrup. And I even have a sort of ritual moment where we take the ash from the latest wildfire and use it to make smoked ice cubes to go in the drink. So, yeah, when you live in a place like this, you need to cycle from one kind of drink to another just to survive.
Mike, what's next for you? What are you working on now?
Well, I'm really excited about the next book, which is called Rants from the Hill, and it's based on an essay series that I wrote for years for High Country News, and it'll be out next summer at the same time that Raising Wild comes out in paperback. That collection is more a humor collection with more pieces and shorter pieces, sort of about the fantasies and failures of trying to live in the high desert.
Thank you for talking with us today, Mike. It's been an absolute pleasure. Michael Branch is the author of the new memoir and collection of essays called Raising Wild, Dispatches from a Home in the Wilderness. You can hear Mike read from this book on October 26th at 6:30 p.m. at Sundance Books and Music in Reno.